Okay. In our last class, we were talking about how being a Christian isn't always easy, meaning that you could suffer because how others might treat you. It could cause strain or division in the family. But that's okay. Not that we're looking for that to happen, but not that we're looking for division, but if that is what comes about because of our service or dedication or our belief in the Lord, then that's okay. You know, because we saw some examples that, you know, this is going to happen. You know, this idea of division. Jesus, you know, remember what we looked at, that Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace but a sword. So the idea of division. The reason why this is important for us to remember is because that is some of the struggles that we're going to deal with when it comes to teaching other people. Now, of course, as a Christian, we know that that's something that we can be faced with. But also, keeping that in mind as we're speaking to others, difficulties that we might be trying to help them with. So these are obstacles that they will face. So we need to be able to show them that that could be part of the outcome. So we have to be willing to put God above all things.
Do you want me to turn on the recorder?
Oh, I've got it on.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see it.
No, that's okay.
Forgive me.
That's okay.
That's on the recorder.
But thank you. So we have to be willing to put God above all things. And that shows our love for Him. You know, striving to serve Him and keeping His commandments. Now remember, when we're talking with others, that we'll have to help them to overcome things like traditions. Even if they come from a background that's not religious, then there are still traditions, if you will, things that are in the home, way they were brought up. There's still things that they're going to have to put away, things that they're going to have to give up. So, in one sense, these things that might be a tradition in that family, and things that are accepted by that family and by friends. So, just keep in mind those kind of things also could at times be a division, especially with friends. You know, sometimes there's friends that we just have to give up because of that life that we used to live, and they still live it. So, you know, that's something that we have to be willing to give up. But not just that, the traditions that come from those that would be considered religious. You know, the traditions that they would get from their parents. Whatever the religious background or denomination is, there are these things that would be handed down, these beliefs. So these are traditions that would have to be overcome as well. And many believe what they do in this sense just because it's what mom and dad taught or what grandma taught. You know, this is what they know. This is what they were raised in. They might not be able to show you Scripture on things. So that's why Scripture is going to be very important to us, number one, that's what we should be teaching from. But when we can go somewhere and make our point from the Word and show that to them, that's going to be very important. So many believe what they do because mom and dad did. Let's look over at Matthew 10:37 for a second. Matthew 10:37 says that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So these are things we've got to think about. Keep in mind that we too, not just, let me back up for a second. We've got to keep these things in mind, in as far as the way that we're living, okay, and the things that we do. Back to this idea of putting God first. So even if these things might cause division, showing that we love God is what we need to do, because we've got to put Him above these things. And we saw the example, that the contrast there, the idea of the parents might have to, they'll have to put God before the children, because we see that, and sometimes how the children might be, it's okay to love your children, but, you know, sometimes you might see the example where they're just exalted so high that they're put above God, and vice versa. That can happen as far as the parents and everything else.
I can't spank him because I love him too much.
So, oh, yeah.
Well, I think also it makes a big impression when you're raising children and they see where you may be put into a situation of having to distance yourself from dear family members because of the way that they're living.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's now become more of a I'm practicing what I've been preaching type situation, and they're having to watch this, and they see the hurt also of you. It hurts you when you're having to distance yourself, but it also hurts the other family members and how it causes strife and doing what you need to do.
Okay. So that's, yeah, it's good. So our example, and like what Don said, not just saying these things, but showing the things, and especially to our children, when we have we should be doing it always, but when we have children at home, you know, the best way to teach them things is when they see it in us. Not saying we shouldn't tell them verbally, because we should. We need to teach them things. But when we prove that by the life that we live, that really, really can go a long way as well.
You know, I think this is a good passage. When you are trying to study with people and teach people, and they see that it's going to cost them.
Yes.
That, you know, Jesus said, who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And, you know, he had just got through doing that verse that you said. And it's so important for them to realize that Jesus also said that if you leave father and mother, or if you leave your home and family, you will have it 100-fold. You know, he promised there's going to be sisters, there's going to be mothers, there's going to be, you know, that's the beauty of the church.
Yes.
And there's comfort in knowing that there are others who have left, you know, their old way, and that it's not easy. And
right.
But it wasn't easy for Jesus to leave heaven, or to, you know, to go to the cross. But so that's why he's worthy, you know, for us to do the same thing.
Yes, ma'am. So there's definitely cost involved.
Mm-hmm.
this.
Yes, sir.
The principle of putting God first, number one, above everything, is all through the Bible. But Jesus, at this point, he's talking about the relationship that's most dear to people. I mean, you know, it's a strong relationship.
Right.
It's father, son, you know, daughter, mother relationship.
Right, because in just in the world, especially if that's all people know, that is the biggest relationship that they know. So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, family is again, not saying that there's anything wrong with
strong family ties.
Yeah, strong family ties, loyalty to the family, all this, that, and the other. That there's nothing wrong with that, but it depends what is going to, you know, be first. You know, we can't allow those things to get in the way of us doing what's right, living the way that we should, or any of those things. So, yeah, good points. One thing I did want to mention, you know, because this idea of we're talking about, you know, those that might have been brought up in a different belief or understanding, denomination. And we say that, okay, we need to be careful of or be mindful that there's tradition that they could be overcome by or whatever. But we need to be careful ourselves that remember, especially when teaching our kids, although what we're teaching them is truth, there's a sense that they could be doing this just from tradition. So we need to teach them in a way that they understand and they believe for themselves, and you know, make their faith their own. So it's just something that we've got to keep in mind too. You know, this idea of tradition can be a problem for anyone.
Stumbling block.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And most importantly, kind of like what we just mentioned, we need to make sure that what we believe is from the Word. And that's what we should be using to teach other people. And like I said, in order to help them understand more, because it's easy for us to say, well, I believe this and I believe that, because they're going to have their own belief. And there might even be part of it that some part of it they might get from the Word, just with the wrong understanding of it. So what we're going to have to do is more than just say, well, this is what I believe or whatever. We need to go over and be able to show them. So we can take whatever they're saying and say, well, you know, well, what about this? And we can go to a verse and we can have them read it themselves and just see what they think of that. Well, what does that mean? Because is that something that might challenge what they were just previously thinking? Is it something that might make them, help them in understanding? Possibly. But keep in mind, as we spoke of before, just because we're able to do that, that doesn't always mean that they're going to accept it. So that's something we need to always keep in mind, but not to the point where it stops us from doing what we need to do. So we need to just make sure that what we're teaching from is not, well, my preacher says, or mama said, or whatever. It needs to be, which is, let me retract that for a second. That's not necessarily wrong, because your preacher might be right, and mama might be right, but what we need to make sure of is where it's coming from, where we're getting it from. And when we do try to teach them these things, we need to teach them more than, well, this is what my preacher says. We need to be able to show them. So that goes back to what we looked at before about us. So we're going to have to be the students that we need to be, so we might be prepared to know where to go, where to show them, if that's what we're, You know, we just said that that's what we need to do to be able to convince them. So then that means there's going to be a need for us to know where to go. So that, again, speaks to our growth and our need to grow.
Craig,
yes, sir.
Teach our own children. I think one of the most important things is having a good foundation for them and teaching them the whole time that you've got control, quote unquote. Because once they leave home, they get into the world, they're going to be sprung with new ideas and things that seem good in themselves, but yet there's an underlying thing there once you get involved, you may not see.
Right.
And so there's influences college, there's influence, you know, just with them being away from where you've got a handle to where you can do what you can do to try to build their own faith, mm-hmm. or to help them build their own faith to where they can withstand those things. I know that one of the things that Kayla was going to a church in Austin, and a few members split away from that church and started one of these home church ideas, and she had some questions about it and stuff, and we studied with her and talked to her, and you know, the thing they're trying to get away from is authority.
Right.
They want to do some things different. You know, why do we have to do it this way? You know, and different things like that. So you've got to build a good foundation so when they get out on their own, they are able to make the right decisions or seek the right help to make those decisions.
Good point, yeah. Because there's definitely going to be challenges when
sure.
because they're out of way. They don't have that support that they might normally have when they were at home. Now they might have support of the brethren where they're at, which is definitely a plus. But yeah, the new things that are different and stuff that can be challenging to their faith. Did you have a? No, you were just looking at me like you had
it. I was thinking historically, like Matthew 10.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jeff was saying about they want to do things different.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine in Matthew 10, the time of Jesus. I mean, this was really new.
Yeah.
I mean, this was first generational. This was not even to the first generation. And to make those changes was a really dramatic thing on family, mm-hmm. on friends, on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it really takes commitment to say, yes, I believe what the Old Testament has said about a Messiah.
Right.
That Jesus is that Messiah. That's hard. Very hard. Especially when families were like in these days. No days.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, because it was all new.
And they had their traditions. And, you know, Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians 11, that he's not condemning traditions. He said, well, guess what? We got some new traditions. Okay? Some new ways of thinking. And they've got to turn and make those changes. That has to come from attitude and the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But we have it easy somewhat compared to what they did.
Right. Right. And we have their example to even look upon, too. And right.
And
we have better understanding of it. If we let's look at Matthew 15 for a second.
The miracles played such an important part. The miracles played a very important part in that time.
Yes. Yeah. In Matthew 15:14. You know, like Jeff was talking about authority. If we run into the problem or make the mistake of following human authority, our destiny is not going to be where we think it is. In Matthew 15:14. Am I in the right place? Let's see here. Oh, yes. Yeah, about the idea of the that they're blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, they're both going to fall into a pit. So this idea of, you know, the traditions that these could be entrapped in following, you know, they might even think that what they're doing is right. We need to keep that in mind too when we're talking to others. I'm sure there's some, but I think for the most part, most people believe what they do. I think they're just kind of entrapped in that. I don't think that they're necessarily doing it for the wrong motives. I say most. I question some that might have more knowledge and teach things that they do. But that's something we need to keep in mind. And a verse we're familiar with still in Matthew, back on the 7th chapter. You know, again, many might think they're doing what's right. Matthew 7:22, it said, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So we need to keep in mind what we're up against when we're trying to teach other people. Again, our attitude should be that we're wanting to help them. We see the situation that they're in, and we want to offer assistance. Doesn't mean that assistance is always going to be accepted. It doesn't mean that they're always going to believe what we have to say. But the idea is that by the example that we live and by the things that we are able to say to them might help them to come to a better understanding. So in lesson 5, being a light. You know, when you look at the word light, or if you do like a word study in the Bible, the word light is used in several ways in the Bible. And some of these thoughts even kind of intertwine. But sometimes, I just noted a couple of different things. Sometimes the word light defines what light does. Sometimes the word light is an example of what the Word of God or what His commandments can and should be to us. We have examples of Jesus being a light. We have examples of other people being a light. Light is also used in the idea of good versus evil. You know, light versus darkness. So let's start by looking at the word as being a light. In Psalm 119, let's go to Psalm 119. I know it's very familiar to us. You know, there's so much that we can see in Psalm 119. So some of it I just took different sections of it. So let's look at Psalm 119:105 first. It's a verse that we're familiar with. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, the word can be a light for all. But that is that it has the ability to show one you know, the way, but not all will trust in that way. And when we read this, the psalmist is describing what it is to him, you know, what the light is to him, or the word is to him. And that also tells us what it should be to us. So, you know, that's something for us to think about. What the word is, what it is to us as far as a light to our path. Now we're about to look at the idea of being a light to other people, or us being a light to other people. But let's consider first what should be in us in order for us to be successful at this. We're going to go ahead and go back to verse 1 of 119. So 119:1. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. It says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all Your commandments. I shall give thanks to You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to Your word. With all my heart I have sought You. Do not let me wander from Your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and regard Your ways. I shall delight in Your statutes. I shall not forget Your word." And we could keep going. But don't we see the dedication and the devotion to God? We see what God's ways mean to the psalmist. So, you know, what does God's ways or His word mean to us? That's something that we need to ask ourselves. Do we trust in it?
When we're teaching others, I love those verses that you gave. You know, and a while back I marked what it does for me, or how it makes me act. You know, God's word makes me blameless, mm-hmm. and it makes me do no unrighteousness, and it establishes my ways, and I'll not be ashamed if I obey those, you know, before the Lord, and you know, it makes my way pure, mm-hmm. and you know, you just go down there, and that I may not sin against the Lord, you know, if I keep them and stuff, and then over in. I love 41 and 42. You know, we're talking about teaching others.
Mm-hmm.
Thy salvation has come to me according to thy word, so that I shall give an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. You know, people are going to reproach and people are going to question. And so we're going to be able to give an answer. You know, we've covered that, I think, from the New Testament, you know, where, you know, to be ready to give an answer for your faith.
Yes.
But the word, you know, will, you can know, you know, because you're going to be slandered in that. And so it's our tool. And not only that, it's our guide. And if we go out and teach others, we use this guide, that's what it'll do for them. You know,
right.
So many of their lives are a mess. And they have no hope, and they have no direction. And so they can see, by God's word, that they have meaning and they have direction. And we should, first and foremost, do it for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Good point.
You just have to be patient, too, with people. Yes. There's a lot of pollution and confusion out there. As of now, I think that's over 50,000 different Christian denominations, and that's a lot. A lot of confusion being spread out there to people. So you just have to be patient, persistent, polite, and persevere.
In class today, in ladies' class, we studied a song that talks about don't strive, don't be anxious. God's on his throne. God's in heaven. God's in control. And, you know, that's a good message for the people out there, you know, that they're wondering what's going to happen, you know, and our country is in a mess, and our world is upside down. And so, you know, I'm our counselor. And so we need reviving, and we need consoling, and these people do too. And so, you know, this God's word is what will give them strength to overcome, you know, and give them courage to do right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
In the Psalm 119, it's interesting when you look at the first two verses there, how the first part of it's been repeated, how blessed are those.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we look at the word blessed and we go over it pretty quickly. But I understand blessed to be a spiritually prosperous. So the people in this world today, they want to have high quality of life, be physically prosperous. Here's how we can be spiritually prosperous.
Yes, sir.
So that word there about blessing, boy, is how. What's the limit? There is no limit. We're undoubtedly spiritually blessed. But how do we maintain that? Well, by, you know, following God's word, walking in his way. So I think it's good encouragement for us as Christians to think about our spiritual prosperity that we have by reading and studying and walking in the Word.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All good points. Thank you. And there's many verses in here that we could use and look at. But I did also jot down verse 97. Because it talks about, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So, is it? What is our attitude towards God? Again, this is where we have to look at ourselves and be honest to ourselves. Do we trust in God's Word? Not just saying that we do, but is that what our life is showing? Do we study God's Word and live it in our life? So, if we do honestly look at ourselves and see if we look at ourselves honestly and see where we're lacking, the question is, what are we willing to do?
This word comes to some of the mind. 97.
Our conscience?
Yeah, meditation. The word, kind of like we build our conscience from the word,
from meditation
on the word.
Okay.
So I'm thinking there's such a strong connection there with the idea of conscience.
And that's what we should be training our conscience with, huh? is the word. Yes, sir?
I found it interesting in verse 104, it talks about hate. You know, you love the law, well then, you know, if you love the law, you're going to hate every false way. And so, man, I have to really do a check there, you know, because if you really hate every false way, you are going to speak up against it. You are going to want to teach someone. You know, you need to love them enough and love God's word enough that you're going to hate, you know, the sin that's out there, that you're going to do something about it.
Good point.
Love the person, yes, but hate sin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we hate sin enough. I don't think we hate, you know, that's a strong word. I think we fuss about it, and I think we try to stay away from it ourselves, but do we really hate it enough to try to make a difference?
Okay. In verse 1, 30 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So our understanding and trust in God's Word pleases God and makes us capable of helping others. That is, if we do more than just trust in it. Again, we must be willing to live it. And if we live it, then other people are going to see that. This will prepare us to be the example to others. And if we're growing in our understanding, we're going to be capable. We're going to be capable to use this very thing that we should be using as a light to our own path. You know, we're going to be able to use God's word to help others to see the very thing that we trust in. We can help others to understand, and hopefully help them to trust in it too. Again, others making this their own, you know, what they do with what we teach them is it's out of our hands what they do with it. But we do have control over our own walk, our own actions. So again, what do other people see in us? So we are to be lights to others. Our example should be a light to others. Our teaching, whether directly or through our example, should be a light. So what does a light do? A light reveals or makes things visible, doesn't it?
Overcomes darkness.
Okay.
Keeps you from stumbling.
Okay, keeps you from stumbling. So, because you can see. Right, so it reveals or makes things visible.
If you stumble, you can hurt yourself.
Not to get too nerdy on everybody. What light does is it bounces and reflects.
Okay.
I see your shirt is blue because the light from the light is bouncing back certain wavelengths to my retina. And if you think about it, you know, we should be reflecting Christ to others. Christ is the source of that light. And as we mold our lives to His, that's what people should see.
Okay.
As we mold our lives to the Word, that's what they should see.
Okay.
Darkness never overcomes light, but light always overcomes darkness.
That's right, because it makes everything visible to them. So if we'll turn to Mark 4:21. Just another example. Says, and he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? It is not brought to be put on... No, it... I'll get it right here in a minute. It is not brought to be put on the lampstand, for nothing is hidden except for to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. So, again, we see the idea of what a light does. And Matthew, one of the other examples I put on there, Matthew 5, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. It says, you are a light of the world. So what does that mean? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. So, you know, well, why not? Because then you would be keeping it from doing the very thing that, you know, what light does, the thing it was designed to do. It says that you wouldn't put this lamp under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. It provides visibility. It reveals. So verse 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So is that the way that we're living? If not, is this something that we're working on? Verse 16, it said that when we let our light shine in this way, it glorifies the Father. Are we honoring Him in the life that we live? Do we live in a way that people see our works? Does our life show that we're different than those that are in the world? So these are things that we need to think about. And I think we're about to get buzzed. That was pretty good.